My name is Jerry Harrow, and I'm the president of the E85 Coalition in Colorado, and it's actually been changed to a Biofuels Coalition now.
First of all, Jerry, if you could explain to me just what this coalition is all about, when it was organized, and what the purpose is.
The coalition was formed at the end of 2005, and the purpose of the coalition was to help get the E85 infrastructure in Colorado. We had done some studies on numbers, and it appeared that there was a significant number of flex fuel vehicles in Colorado, but only 10 stations that were providing E85. So the coalition was put together by the Office of Energy Management out of the governor's office, and it was put together with a diverse group of people to come together and to really do the things that were necessary and get the people at the table and get the funding available to people who wanted to build the infrastructure.
How has that worked? How have you improved the infrastructure for E85 in Colorado?
In Colorado right now, we've had a lot of success. We started out with 10 stations that actually offered E85. We're at 20 now, and by the end of the year, we're expecting that we'll have over 50. So we've had some great success in a very short period of time.
Now, you said you've had a diverse group of people working in this coalition. Can you give me an idea of the kinds of people that you've had working together on this project?
Again, I think it's very critical to have the right people at the table. The types of people that we had were people from that represented the automobile side of the world, the vehicle side of the world, economic development people, state fleet representative, fuel distributors. We've had small and large retailers that actually would be the people putting in the pumps. We've also had ethanol producers because we felt that the product itself, having that available, was very critical. We've also had agricultural representatives at the table, as well as public health and environmental representatives, and also petroleum marketing people. We felt that having all those people come together, it was trying to address all the various potential problems or potential areas of opportunity that we would have as we went forward. And so far what's happened is all those people working together with their various expertise in all their areas have really helped us make it through some issues and make it happen and really get the fueling infrastructure out there.
What are some of the specific actions that you took or recommendations that you made to help improve the infrastructure in Colorado?
Some of the specific actions we took, first of all, we had to understand where the flex fuel vehicles were, where the stations were, and then come up with a plan and some goals. So as a group, we decided on some goals, both from putting stations in place, how many, as well as the, how much fuel that we would want to have measured as we go through. So starting off with the goals, then what we did is just try to understand the funding that was available, and we were able to acquire some PVE funding, the Petroleum Violation Escrow funding, as well as SEP, the State Energy Plan funding, as well as working together, we received a grant from the Department of Energy. And combining all those funds, we then decided we needed to have a decision matrix so that we were allocating the funding to the infrastructure the way we wanted it to happen. So that was a key part to the initial part. And then, of course, we started going out and making it known that we had the money and that we were interested in building infrastructure. And then all that together has really come together to get people interested and actually step up and put pumps and dispensers out there.
Now, does this involve actually converting existing fuel pumps or adding new ones?
This actually involved all different types of infrastructure changes or upgrades, all the way from just upgrading dispensers to actually installing, let's say, biofuel stations, which included, brand new tanks for ethanol or E85, as well as tanks for biodiesel, and having biofuel areas where people can come in and actually get biofuels. So it's a wide range. We've had all the way from, like I said, people just converting a dispenser over and cleaning out a tank and using existing tanks, to actually putting brand new facilities in. We've also had some very good success in municipalities being interested, and the municipalities have also put in standalone refueling stations that the local, state and local governments are working together to actually use E85. They've had quite a few E85 vehicles, flex fuel vehicles, in their fleets, but did not have the infrastructure to use the fuel. So They're partnering together, and that was really exciting for all of us, too, to see that the state, local governments working together to really get the E85 usage up.
Now, did this require any of the stuff that you did require any type of legislation on the state level?
This did not require any sort of legislation, and one of the things I think, one of the successes that we've had is that we, even though we're very interested in the legislation that's occurring, we tried to be very, very much a non-legislative type of organization, one that did not participate in lobbying or any of those types of things, and we felt that that was an important thing to keep everybody at the table working together, that it wasn't really focused on that, and our whole focus was really just to get the infrastructure out there so that the folks that had flex fuel vehicles really could find the fuel.
Has this helped make it easier for suppliers to get this out? I mean, is there a lot of hoops for them that jump through or any forms for them to fill out, that kind of thing, or regulations for them to meet, or have you helped streamline that process?
From a standpoint of putting infrastructure in place, a couple things we've tried to do to make it easy for the people that are going to be building infrastructure. One is that our process is a very simple process. We developed a very simple form that requests for funding that the person fills out, and it's sent to our committee, and we meet once a month. We look at those, review them, and using the decision matrix that we came up with, we allocate, you know, the amount of money we feel is appropriate for that particular project. And so it's very easy. They usually hear within, you know, just a very short time from when they submitted it in. And then after that, the state, the Office of Energy Management Office, which is now called the Governor's Energy Office, makes it very easy, too, to get the money from the state. So we've tried to streamline that and make it very simple for them. One of the things that I think we're very successful in also is, as you're probably aware of, the UL situation, where UL came back and said that they needed to develop the testing for the dispensers. That caused a little bit of issues in that the state fire marshals and some of those people, we had to really figure out what we were going to do with the E85 dispensers. So the Governor's Energy Office, as well as some of the people on the coalition, worked together with the authorities having jurisdiction and the fire marshals and the association and some of those people to really help work together to get a waiver process, interim process, while the UL is doing the testing on the dispensers. And that's worked out very well because that is an issue, and we want to make sure that what we're doing is safe and falls in. And so being involved in those types of things as they come up and really working through that together with the appropriate people really has also made it easier for a lot of the people putting infrastructure in place.
Now, as you mentioned, you've gone from just E85 to biofuels. Explain to me why, you know, how that change came about as far as the coalition is concerned, and why, and how your mission has expanded.
Just recently, the new governor was elected, and at that time, he has a renewable energy focus and wanted to expand on the success that the coalition has already had. So he asked us and requested from us to expand our focus into also putting out biodiesel infrastructure, helping that in the state. And looking at the people that we're working with, looking at the things that we've done, it was a very good fit and worked very well. So we added that just recently within the last month to our mission to help start putting together the same types of things we did for E85, but also for biodiesel, so that the stations out there that want to become more of a biofuels focus can do that. We're also going to be putting some funding in place to help that and all those things. So we're very early in that process, but we're excited about it, and it's something that I think is a good fit with what we've done in the past. And since our group has had such good success and has a lot of momentum going, we feel like it's really going to help also promote the use and the infrastructure for biodiesel in Colorado.
Now, the benefits for the industry and for the retailers are obvious. What kind of feedback are you getting in terms of the public and what they're looking for in terms of having more access to biofuels?
Well, I think the public has been very positive about E85 and also biodiesel in the future. And one of the things I know that to me is the measure is the stations that are going in, their usage or sales of E85 are just skyrocketing. So the people, you know, the retail public out there that has the vehicles are just really starting to use it and embrace it and really think it's an alternative, in particular when you talk about petroleum displacement, which is what E85 really is all about. And on top of that, GM came to the table and has chosen us as a state to also promote their flex fuel vehicles. So what that's done is now the dealerships also are familiar now with flex fuel vehicles because of training. So there's a lot more public awareness of what a flex fuel vehicle is. That combined with having more stations and all the stations openings we've had, it's really been a very positive thing on people really adopting and using flex fuel vehicles.
With the gas prices going up as much as they have been in the last month or so, are you seeing increased interest in the last couple of weeks?
Of course, with the gas prices going up, the interest has gone up even more. So one of the people at our meeting the other day from AAA here in Colorado was indicating he's getting a lot more questions, a lot more interest in E85 and flex fuel vehicles. So that was just kind of anecdotal feedback from him that's really going, especially since the fuel prices are going up so much.
All right, my last question, Jerry, is how can this model be used in other states to help increase the E85 infrastructure and infrastructure for other biofuels?
I think that the model that we've used here in Colorado is very good for states to at least look at. I know each state has its own unique needs and own unique situations, but some of the things we've done here I think really will help and could help other states be as successful as we are. And one of the things I know that we're working with NREL, the National Renewable Energy Lab, to publish a document that really discusses the successes we've had and how we came to those successes and some of the things that, you know, maybe a coalition would need to do to get started and some of the issues that we've had to deal with as we've gone forward. So we think that that's going to be a real valuable document for states that would like to work with their energy office and really move forward on increasing infrastructure.
Okay, Jerry, that's all the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, at this point, it's an exciting time to be working with renewable fuels and that type of stuff. And I just really encourage everybody to, you know, go forward. And there's a lot of things we can do, and all of it helps in reducing our petroleum dependency and all the other things. So it's very, very positive time to be working in this area.